Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I am Pastor Lynn, the associate pastor here, and we are the church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. Today, Pastor Lindsay and Pastor John are away with a group of parishioners. They're at family camp at Myers Lake. And so we are being blessed with a guest preacher. Now, this is a guest preacher that many of you already know. It is Reverend Sue. All of a sudden, I'm going blank on your last name, Sue. Patood. I've known Sue for quite a few years, and yet I'm going, wow. Sue is an ordained deacon in the United Methodist Church, and she is on staff at Cass Community Social Services, where she is the church and community relations liaison. So, you may well remember the things she did here. I have been told, I wasn't here then, but I have been told that she organized trips to ASP, to the Appalachian Service Project. She did a lot of work with the youth. She's going to be sharing with us today some of the things that God has been doing in her life, and how God has blessed her in some important moments. Our worship leaders today are Rose Bledsoe and Greg Guise, but I do have a few important announcements to share with you. First of all, have you gotten your flat Jesus yet? If you haven't, you need to get one. You need it for this summer. So at a table in the community room, there are flat Jesus. I colored mine in. They're black and white so far. You can decorate them or not. They are for you to take with you all summer. And wherever you are, home or away, take flat Jesus and snap pictures of him so we can see where he's been. Send them back to the congregation. These are just a few of pictures of Flat Jesus in other places. You can take them across the globe. You can take them to the grocery store. Wherever you want, just send us some pictures. Secondly, I want to let you know that Vacation Bible School begins on August 1st, but now is the time to register. Register whether you want to be a volunteer, to help decorate, to make snacks, to lead crafts, all kinds of things, or this is the time to register your kids. So go to the website, go to the events page, scroll all the way down to August. That's the place to find the registration forms. Third, all church picnic. On June the 11th at 11 o'clock, we're having an all church picnic at the Whitmore Lake campus, and we are not going to be having worship here at 11. All of us, both campuses, are going to worship together at 11. The 9:30 service will still be here, so you can come here and then go to the picnic, however you want to do that. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Bounce houses, lots of good food. You don't have to bring food along. The food will be there, and it's free. And finally, I do want to share with you, Bob Richmond is with us today. You know that he recently lost his dear wife, Mary. He asked me to let you know that there will be a memorial service for her and a picnic at their home a week from today. 11 o'clock starts visitation. And 1 o'clock will be 12 o'clock will be the memorial service, and I'll be leading that. And now, one more thing. I have so many things to tell you today. Don't forget to fill out those connection cards. Be sure to put in there whatever you'd like us to know about you. That's a place you can sign up for things. And also on the prayer cards, fill those in, whether you're online, in person. Let us know what's happening in your life. We want to pray for you. We want to connect you. And now let's stand for our opening song, number 66 in the hymnal.
Everyone this morning, let us join together in the opening prayer. Lord God, we seek your presence in worship today. Open our eyes to see you in our lives. open our ears to hear your call, and open our hearts to follow. Be with us now and always. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And the church said, Amen. Thank you for your musical blessing. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Good morning. It's always good to come back and see familiar faces here. If you'll all please pray with me. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Follow me, Jesus said to Simon, also called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Then down the shore, a similar invitation is issued to two other brothers, James and John. Can you imagine the scene? Here are two sets of brothers working hard in the family business, casting nets into the sea, hoping to catch enough fish to make a living. And here comes this guy with an invitation that on first glance probably didn't fall into the category of something too good to miss. And yet the brothers respond. There must have been something about this stranger on the shore that gave the disciples confidence to drop their nets. Both times, Matthew uses the same word to describe the timing of their reaction, immediately. And both times, Matthew tells us how they respond. They follow him. They may be the most powerful words in all of spoken language. You hear these words and life may never be the same, changing who you are, the life you've known, how you'll look at life, and the people in your life as well. When these words were first spoken, the men who heard them had been minding their own business, going about their work and keeping to themselves. They were ordinary people like you and me. They had jobs, families, hobbies, and friends. When they woke up that day, they thought it would be like any other. Get dressed, go to work, labor until you can't do anymore, go home, shower, eat, spend time with family and friends. In fact, as they went about their business that day, none of them knew that their life was going to change forever so quickly and so decisively. Come, follow me. Right then, a decision had to be made. These fishermen could not have known or understood what they were getting into when they dropped everything and left all they had behind. Whatever ideas, hopes, expectations, or even fears they had in their minds as they took those first few steps into the unknown never could have come close to what they were about to experience. It couldn't have prepared them for what was about to happen, for everything they would see, hear, and experience. Everything about Jesus, his teaching, his compassion, his wisdom, his power, his authority would be unlike anything they had ever experienced, and it would transform every aspect of their lives, their minds, their hearts, their hopes, their dreams, and ultimately their lives. In the past, and even today, I've been asked to share a pivotal point in my faith journey. I don't think there was one pivotal point, but a string of moments in time that all came together to tell us a call story. I was a middle school math teacher. Occasionally, I taught science and, in fact, have master's degrees in both math education and biology. When my son was in ninth grade, we were members of this church. At that time, it was pretty much expected that all high schoolers would spend a week of their summer on ASP, Appalachia Service Project, doing home repair with the mission to make homes warmer, safer, and drier. He followed the norm and went on the trip. When he came home, he started in on me. According to Jeff, I needed to go with him and the others that following year. I had zero construction skills. Was afraid of a circular saw and told him I didn't think I would be going. I thought the discussion was over, but as time to sign up got closer and closer, he became quite relentless. His final statement was something like this: Mom, we need someone to make the sandwiches, too. You can at least do that. I really couldn't compete with that logic, and since I only have one child and I didn't teach in the summer, when he put it that way, I really didn't have a choice. I went. Were Jeff's words Jesus saying, "Follow me"? I ended up leading that trip for the next 9 years, taking 50 or so youth and their adult chaperones to Appalachia every summer. It would turn out to be life-changing. About 6 years into that, I started working with those same youth during the school year. Our young pastor had come to me saying he really needed some help with that group, and since I already knew them in another context, he was hoping I would be the person he was looking for. Was that another follow me? We met every week, ultimately worked on a project called Grand River together, connecting our part of Grand River here in Brighton with those that lived near Grand River in Detroit, visiting Cots and Cass. Was that a foreshadowing of my future? The following summer at some Bible college in Kentucky, after a full week of working on homes in Appalachia, we, as was the custom, were sitting in a large circle reflecting on our week. Each person was to tell of a time during the week when they felt that God was really present. I was sitting more than halfway around the circle. By the time it was my turn, I was completely overcome and couldn't even speak. I didn't have a clue, but that same young pastor did. We then spent hours sitting in Mancino's, drinking coffee, and trying to discern where God's follow me was really leading. Then there was Ellen. During one of those Sunday night youth meetings, she asked a question, and I didn't know the answer. In my mind, that was unacceptable. I looked for classes and programs because that's what teachers do, and finally found something for lay people to give them more knowledge and even certification in things like children's ministry or youth ministry or pastoral care, and I thought that was it. About halfway through that program, though, professors and classmates began telling me I was following the wrong track. What I really needed to do was go to seminary, where Ellen and my professors and classmates voicing Jesus' words, "Follow me." But still I resisted. I was a teacher. I had 29 years in. With 30, one would receive full retirement benefits. I couldn't change career paths at that point, right? Wrong. Right before the end of the 2010 school year, the state of Michigan offered an incentive to experienced teachers. If your age and your experience added up to 80, you were eligible for the incentive. I qualified by 14 days. I retired, went to seminary, began volunteering at Cass Community Social Services, and the rest is history. The whole point here is that I resisted. Unlike the disciples who said yes on the spot, I resisted. And I think most of us do the same thing when we're called. The great theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "The call to follow me was a call to absolute discipleship, and that it came at a pretty high cost." But he also noted that it was only in surrendering ourselves to Jesus' command that we could know our greatest joy. There must have been something about Jesus' invitation that these four fishermen were willing to take a risk, that I was willing to take a risk. Follow me. It's a command that comes over and over in Scripture. God called Abraham and Sarah to leave their home, their family, their identity, and journey into an unfamiliar land. God called Rahab to shelter undercover agents sent to Jericho. God called Samuel three times as a young boy to be God's servant, who later would anoint Israel's first king. God called prophets like Isaiah to summon the people of Israel to open their eyes and see God in their midst. God called Mary to give birth to Jesus, and God called fishermen from their nets to follow him. And God is calling all of us, too. As James Chatham notes, from the beginning, God has called people. God has stepped into their lives, pointed them in new directions. Is this not a strong signal that God is going to call us to? That in some moment when we're involved in a normal day's task, God will walk up to the lake shore and beckon us to leave our fishing boats for a future we hadn't planned. A lot of times we believe that God's call is reserved for a select few, you know, those of us clergy types. Maybe we allow ourselves to believe that they are for non-clergy too, but even then, only a select few. However, in Matthew's gospel, that idea is challenged by the very fact that these first disciples were fishermen. They were ordinary, everyday people going about their very ordinary, everyday lives. They were people who worked with their hands, who likely lived day to day, hoping they would catch enough fish to survive. Their hands and faces were weathered by the wind and the sea. They probably hung out with the wrong crowd, and some would question their intelligence with that. And they probably said things they shouldn't. And yet this is Jesus' target audience. Just like the shepherds on the hillside heard the news of his birth, God again brings unlikely people into the story. This should cause us to take note. Maybe God will even call us into the story if we're open enough to hearing Jesus' voice saying, "Follow me." Follow me on a cold Sunday morning in January, when the warmth of a cozy bed is even more alluring, into a time of worship, prayer, and study with a community of faith. Follow me when you see that coworker, classmate, or neighbor who seems to not have anyone to talk to, who is longing for someone to hear their story and offer support. Follow me at a dinner party where jokes become increasingly crude and you can't quite bring yourself to laugh at yet another joke that brims with racism or sexism. Follow me to speak out for what's right. Follow me when you see those who are hungry or without shelter or who lack decent clothing or who are oppressed and without voice. Recognize them as fellow children of God and respond in action. From loading produce at a mobile food pantry to sorting clothing donations or working for real changes in the systems that have failed. Of course, it can be difficult to hear God's call. There are many other places in our lives and the world that make a lot of noise too, in hopes that we'll follow. Follow me. You need this list of products in order to make yourself look or feel your very best. With a bright combination of them, you will be successful. Follow me on social media. You can keep up with the latest news and thoughts of celebrities, politicians, and friends. Follow me. Everyone's doing it. Whatever it is, just follow me. Our work, it seems, is to discern which of these follow me's are from God and which might be from places that don't quite lead us down the same path. To do this, we have to be open to hearing God's call in the first place and making space in our lives, minds, and hearts to be open to the kind of change God's call might bring to us. The disciples were working as fishermen, but when they received the call, they enthusiastically followed, and Jesus gave them a new vocation, to fish for people. He took the skills they presumably already had, fishing, and use their abilities, learned and innate, to help them learn how to be disciples. I believe God's call works in many of the same ways today. God nurtures in us talents, gifts, and interests that we have, and helps us find ways to use them to be part of what God is doing in the world. These often become identified as spiritual gifts and range from beautiful singing voices and compassionate hearts to the ability to organize and understand numbers. All of these are needed for God's work. Therefore, all of us are called. We just need to know how to discern what that means for us and how not to argue when the call comes. But even if you argue, you're in good company. For the first 40 years of his life, Moses lived in a place of strength As a member of Pharaoh's household, he had social prestige, wealth, and youthful strength. When he became aware of and troubled by his people's oppression, he used the strength to exact vigilante justice on an oppressive Egyptian. He had to flee for his life and ended up tending livestock in the quiet fields of Midian for his second 40 years. And then one day, he stumbled on that burning bush, which turned out to be God's surprising call for his third 40 years. And he resisted. Four times he argued with God, and each time he had what he thought was a valid point. I'm a nobody. Who will listen to me? They won't listen because they won't believe that you appeared to me. I can't speak well. There must be someone else better than me. And each time God said, nope, you're the one. Get over it already and go to Egypt. Do you feel unqualified for what God is calling you to do? Join the club. Imagine going back to school in a field vastly different from the one you studied initially, some 30 years later. I had to call that son of mine to find out how to properly set up my first paper. It turns out it really wasn't as hard as they explained. No matter what your calling is, it most likely won't be easy. If it doesn't require real faith and a desperate dependence on God, then either it's not God's calling or you don't get it yet. Is God calling you to follow me? Have you been arguing with God about your qualifications? Remember Moses. Remember me. And remember that God's call on you is not about you. It's about God. And the question is, are you willing for God to use you to show others just how impressive God is? Please pray with me. Gracious God, sometimes it's really hard to hear your call, and then other times we hear it just fine and resist. Help us to be like those first disciples. Help us to react immediately when we hear your calling. Help us to understand that you call us all to something and that we will be given the talents and skills to do whatever, wherever that call will lead. Amen.
Sue, thank you for your message this morning. I don't know if you know this, but Sue and I led one of those ASP teams together, and she still kept coming back. And she still welcomes me at CAS, and I thought that that was all good until yesterday when she sent our team into a dense group of foliage and vegetation in search of, I don't know what, Dr. Livingston, I presume? No, it was a telephone pole. So my first home and away event with CAS Community Social Services, where we had a team there, and their team is here today, it started with that. And no one got lost, so thankful for that. Today you may notice, as we do enter into a time of prayer, that we have one prayer quilt for Nate. And after this service, would you please take a minute to tie a knot in the prayer quilt, sign the card, and say a prayer. And please join me now as we do ask God to bless this prayer quilt for Nate. Merciful, loving God, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon this quilt for Nate. We ask that it have your healing, your strength, that every time he wraps himself around it or looks at it, that he feels your presence and feels your comfort. Heavenly Father, you love us so much that your Son came to redeem us from sin. Jesus came to save us and show us how to be obedient members of your family. Hear us when we repent of our sins and turn toward you, for your kingdom is near. Help us be like the disciples of Jesus, fishing for others so they may know you too. As we fish for others, let them see us aspire to be like Christ in character, holiness, and love. Let them see us seeking the kingdom of God first, with good planning and not worrying. As we fish for others, let them see us honor Jesus with our hearts and not just our lips. Let them see us exemplify concern for the physical and spiritual needs of others. As we fish for others, let them see us living out the lessons Jesus taught with parables. Let them experience our forgiveness, gratitude, healing, humility, love, and service. Hear us now as we silently consider what it means to be a follower of Christ. Lord, give us faith like that of the paralyzed man's friends, taking him to Jesus for healing. Create in us clean hearts and put right spirits within us that others see your reflection in us. Hear us now as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now, as we prepare for our time of offering, I invite you to consider that our willingness to share with others, that can be a step in the process of hearing God's voice in our lives. It could be a step in opening our hearts to follow the call of God. So now I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you for all that you have given us. We answer your call to generosity with our offerings today. Please accept and use them to grow our and your community of believers. Amen.
Now go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.